Good morning, everybody. A very good welcome to Gillingham Baptist Church, especially if you're here for the first time. It's great to see you here. Do please hang around afterwards and stay for coffee. Don't rush off. It'd be great to get to know you. For those of you who are wondering why the service is starting an hour late, can I politely remind you that the clocks went back last night? So congratulations to everyone who got here at the right time. In case you're watching online and you're thinking, has Stephen grown a lot taller and got slightly younger? No, there's no need to readjust your sets. Bernie is actually on a short break at the moment. Stephen is on a short break this morning. So you got me instead. And the reason I'm up here, I'm John, I'm from the mission team. And today is a special mission service. And I'm delighted that we have Dave Steadman from the African Pastors Fellowship, who will be talking to us a bit later. I have a confession to make. Somebody asked me during the week if Stephen had gone away anywhere nice, and I said no, he'd gone to Yorkshire. But there was only a joke, so extra special welcome to any Yorkshiremen and women who are here this morning. Okay. Right, without further ado, I'd like to hand over to AO and to the worship team. Thank you very much.
All right, good morning, church. So happy to see you again this Sunday morning. Many of us woke up very early today. Like, you woke up very early and just realized that, wow, the time the clock has returned back by 1 hour. How many, brother? All right, that happened to me. When I woke up, I was like, wow, I should still sleep one more hour. All right, but anytime we have the opportunity to see another breaking of the day, one of the few things we say is to say thank you, Lord. Yeah. And to start the service this morning, I would like to read from Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 14 to 16. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that pleased God. And to start our worship this morning, we'll rise on our feet if you are able to. And we'll sing the song, "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise into the House of the Lord." As you sing that song, I just want you to reflect on God's wonders. Since the start of this year, and use that to say, Lord, I bring the sacrifice of praise into your house.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
The sacrifice
of thanks.
sacrifice. I'd like you to demonstrate that offering to God this morning and say, and I offer unto you. Raise up your hands and we say, and I offer unto you the sacrifice. Of thanksgiving, and I offer unto you the sacrifice. You do that one more time. Caesar. Let's take it. Oh, and I offer unto you. Think of his wonders, the sacrifice. Of his goodness, of thanksgiving, and I offer unto you the sacrifice. The splendor of the King.
My heart will sing.
How great, how great.
how great is our God. One will sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. One will sing, how will sing, how great, how great, how great is our God.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Oh, and like a flood, His mercy is great, His mercy is great. Unending love, unending love, amazing grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound, the Savior. Never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up,
sing,
I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful. Is that your testimony this morning? All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Oh, you have led me through the fire. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Sing that one more time. Your goodness is running after me. Sing it like you mean it. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down. I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I have made, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Just meditate on God's wonders in your life this morning and just express your love to God. And just express your love to God this morning. And all you have to say is, thank you, Jesus. If I have 10,000 tongues, they will not be enough to say thank you for your wonders. All my life, you've been so good.
Yeah.
All my life, you've been so wonderful. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Now you put your name instead of I, you say, I will sing. Put your name there. All the goodness of God. Put your name higher, we'll sing. Higher, we'll sing of the goodness of God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Please be seated. Welcome to church.
Good morning. It's a great pleasure to be here this morning and to see the song, see the church in such good shape and fine song as well. Thank you for leading us in worship. My name is Dave Steadman. I'm a Baptist minister. I was the minister at Walderslade Baptist Church back in the day, and have been minister at Canterbury Baptist Church. And for the last 10 years, have been overseeing the work of an organisation called African Pastors Fellowship, which many of you will have heard of, some of you will remember something about, but many of you perhaps are unfamiliar with. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to come and share what APF, African Pastors Fellowship, is all about. It's a strategic and inspiring ministry, I believe, an organisation that is dedicated to empowering church leaders across Africa through training, technology, and support. If we can move to the next slide, please. So APF has been in existence since 1981. We are a UK-based, Africa-facing charity. We partner directly with pastors and church leaders and seminaries and NGOs across Africa, especially in rural and marginalised areas. And our mission statement is to enable African church leaders to transform their communities through sustainable development, contextualised resources, digital tools, and leadership training. Next slide, please. So why does APF's work matter? Africa has millions of churches, but many pastors lack formal training or access to basic ministry resources. Many live in remote areas with limited internet, no library, and lack of formal education. But pastors are not only spiritual leaders in those places, they are also very often community mobilizers. People who have responsibilities for education and health awareness and social care, in addition to pastoral ministry. And without support, these leaders can become isolated, they're under-resourced, and can lead to feelings of being overwhelmed. And a lack of ministry formation can also cause theological error, even spiritual abuse. Next slide, please. So what does APF do? Our flagship project is something called Evitabu. And Vitabu means books in Swahili. So Evitabu is a digital library which can be downloaded and installed and used on someone's smartphone or tablet. Evitabu contains theological content, Bibles and commentaries, sermon outlines, inspirational leadership videos, practical training in things like agriculture, leadership, vocational skills, business. And it's designed for low bandwidth environments. And to date, having been launched in 2018, Evitabu is now being used in 35 countries across the continent of Africa, reaching an estimated 3 million people through its users. So Evitabu is a big deal for what is quite a small organisation. And that is very much the main focus of our work in Africa at present. But through Evitabu, a number of other things are also happening. If we move to the next slide, one of those is in-service training. Because over the years, APF has focused on is now focusing on African-led training rather than importing Western or European or American models. We help to resource workshops, seminars and scholarships in theology, in ethical leadership, in church management and peace building, for example. A core value for APF is collaboration, real partnership with African denominations to elevate existing ministries and local leadership rather than create dependency. And we do that by working closely with a network of African training partners, some of whom I'll introduce to you in a few moments. If we move to the next slide, Other activities include seed funding for church-led community ministries to share the gospel in deed, in action, as well as in word. And often these are around poverty mitigation and income generation. Next slide, please. Grants for bicycles and other transportation to help the movement of pastors has been a significant ministry of APF in the past, and a bicycle continues to be a valuable ministry tool, especially in rural areas. Next slide, please. Likewise, despite there being 685 million individual unique mobile subscriptions in sub-Saharan Africa in this year, 2025, the demand for a physical local language Bible remains huge. And I've recently come back from a visit to Uganda, and it was great to be able to distribute hard copies of the African Study Bible to church leaders whilst I was there. The next slide, please, has to do with the impact of all of those different activities. And I want to do that by introducing to you some of our key African training partners. So hopefully their pictures will fly in as I mention them. Firstly, in Uganda, Walubo Jude coordinates training events and a variety of projects, including a vocational school and a women's empowerment NGO, and corporate partnerships which help to fund extensive tree planting in school campuses and seminaries. And then in Tanzania, next image, there he is, the wonderfully named Pastor Heavenlight Luoga, together with his wife Kezia, runs an NGO called Make Africa Preach, which serves church leaders and their dependents in Tanzania and neighbouring countries, including Burundi, DRC and Rwanda. And then in South Sudan, Daniel Deng delivers training and coordinates workshops to increase awareness of Ivitabu. And in addition to inviting church leaders, he brings together civic and corporate leaders to make use of the resources around governance and management to improve general education and good governance in organisations in his region. And then further south, in Zambia, Pastor Lawson Limau combines running a printing business with being the pastor of a local church, and has used resources he finds in Ivitabu to create a basic pastoral theology training course, which he teaches in rural areas around his country. And then in Rwanda, where government regulations have led to thousands of church closures, Victor Amana Turikumwi is harnessing the potential of digital technology to grow the use of Ivitabu to deliver online training and explore what it means to create church online in his context. And then finally, as an example, in Somalia, Daniel Masiga leads a network of church leaders located within the Mogadishu International Airport Green Zone. And collectively, they provide humanitarian aid and Christian literature in local Somali language through the International Hospital there. These are just an example of some of our African training partners. So if we move to the next slide, how then might you be able to help? Well, you can help by inviting me to come and share like this, for which I'm very grateful. And as a church, you already support a number of Ivitabu users, for which we're very grateful. But you can certainly pray. Pray for the literally thousands of pastors in Africa that APF supports either directly or indirectly. Many of those women and men are in conflict zones or areas of extreme poverty. You could give financially. Just a few pounds can provide digital access or fund a leadership seminar. There are some details about how you can give on the table as you leave the church later this morning. And also a subscription sheet. If you don't already hear regularly from us but would like to, you can sign up and we'd be glad to maintain contact with you. And you can spread the word. Awareness helps to open doors to new partnerships and opportunities. So then the final slide has to do with contact. APF is making a real and strategic difference by equipping those who are already doing the hard and important work of ministry and community transformation. And I would be absolutely delighted to hear from you if you would like to find out more or to explore how you might have gifts and talents and time to enable you to get involved and assist in that ministry. So thank you so much once again for this platform and for the support of the church here in Gillingham for the ministry of APF. And on behalf of Heaven Light and Victor and Jude and others that I've shown you, thank you so much for this opportunity. And thank you so much for your prayers and support. Thank you.
All right, we'll rise to sing. These are the days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah. Declaring the works of the Lord. Trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation. Behold, behold, he comes. Riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. Out of trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. Thank you.
Thank you. We're now going to take the offering. Father, we just thank you for these gifts, this offering. We just pray that we will use it wisely to serve you here in Gillingham and abroad. We thank you for the generosity of the church and just pray that we will be able to continue to give. We thank you so much for all that you provide us with, and we just pray that this token of our love will be accepted. Amen. Right, it's now time for the children's classes. As far as I know, all the groups are meeting this morning. If you're here for the first time and you're under 18, please follow someone of a similar age and hopefully you'll end up at the right group. Thank you.
Morning, church. Let's pray. Father God, we worship you, we bless you, and we praise your name. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. Hear our prayers. Father, we thank you for our multicultural, multinational congregation and for the beauty, variety, diversity and flavour this brings to our church. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to our church freely on a Sunday without fear of attack or death. We thank you for the freedoms and privileges we have in this country, and we are mindful of those for whom it is very different. As churches meet around the world today, Lord, would you protect all Christians who are at risk and enable all who want to worship you in safety. Lord, be their shield, be their fortress, be their protector and help them in every way. We pray for Christians who are imprisoned or persecuted for their faith and their families. Lord, please be very close to them and strengthen them and protect them in their time of need. And we pray for the family and friends of some of our congregation who are of great concern to them in these or similar situations. We thank you for and pray for organisations such as Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Release International and Open Doors, to name but a few. We thank you, Father, for the vast and beautiful continent of Africa, and for the continuing growth of well over 700 million Christians in Africa from all different denominations. We thank you that Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit is powerfully at work in Africa, and that many people continue to come to faith and get baptized. We thank you for Dave's visit to us today and for the work that he and his team do. We thank you, Lord, for the African Pastors Fellowship, and for the way they enable African Christian leaders of all denominations to minister effectively in thriving local churches that serve flourishing communities. We pray that each pastor in need would receive all that they need to serve their congregations well, whether it's formal accredited theological training or informal formational training, whether it's transport, such as bicycles and motorbikes, to enable them to get to remote areas, or Bibles translated into the right languages, or PA systems for mass gatherings, or simple brick church buildings. We pray that each pastor and their church would have enough resources to support those in need in each church's community, especially for supporting the poor and needy, for widows, orphans, refugees, and those with disabilities. We thank you for the digital training aids, especially for the mobile app called eVitabu, which African pastors can use, which is a pioneering tool downloaded onto solar panel powered tablets or mobile phones to bring training, teaching, translation, and a wide variety of practical application. We thank you, Lord, for the immense help that this is to the people in remote areas of Africa. And we pray that more and more people will be called to pray, to give, to advocate, and even to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, here at home, we pray for all those we know and love from our fellowship and also our wider families and the friends also who struggle in body, mind and spirit. For those who are mourning, please bring your comfort. For those who are recovering from surgery and hospital admissions, please help them in their recovery. For those who are waiting for tests, investigations, treatments and surgery, Lord, give them peace and patience and keep them safe and stable as they wait. For those with chronic illness and long-term sickness and for their carers, help them to persevere, especially when it feels never-ending, dark and lonely. And for those who struggle with their mental health, Lord, be a very present help to them. May they know your caring, calming presence and your healing and intervention. Lord, we hold before you all those who are struggling, and we trust you to bring them exactly what they need at the right time. We pray for the Blythewood Christmas shoebox appeal, and we thank you for each person who's filled a shoebox with gifts to bless people who have little or nothing in Eastern Europe at Christmas time. We thank you for Mary's long-term commitment in coordinating our church's offering, and we thank you for those from our church and others who volunteer every year to help collect, check and dispatch the thousands of gift boxes. We pray for our leadership team. We lift you, Stephen, our minister, and Sharon as they take time out over the weekend. Would you bless and refresh them and give them safe journeys and a happy time together? We pray for Sarah as she continues her ministerial training, and we ask you to bless and help her in all she does. And Lord, we pray for our forthcoming leadership election next month. We thank you, Lord, especially for Penny, our treasurer, and Rachel, our church secretary, and for their many, many hours of work behind the scenes. As they step down, would you bless each one for their faithful service to you and to us as a church? We pray for those who will take over in these roles and ask you to equip them with all the specialist skills they need to execute these roles well. We pray, Lord, that our church leadership team will lead with love and grace and reflect you in all they do, that they will serve you wholeheartedly and be able to take us forward, to encourage us in our faith, to help us grow deeper into you, to help us grow in number, to see more people coming to faith and to take you out into the community as we share your love and hope outside of these walls. Lord, I pray that those you are calling onto the team would hear your call with clarity and have the courage to speak up and test that call. Shape us, Lord. Shape our team into the shape you want it to be. Bring the people you want onto our team. And help each one of us here to approach this election with careful thought and faithful prayer, seeking your will and not our own. We lift to you our town, our county, our nation, and the world, and we pray for your powerful intervention. Yes. We thank you, Lord, that you promise to hear us when we pray in faith. Hear our prayers, Lord. We love you, we trust you, we look to you. Thank you that you will always supply us with exactly what we need at the right time. Help us to be used by you and to be willing to be part of the answer to our prayers. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Still in the attitude of worship, the next song we are taking is I Want to Serve the Purpose of God and My Generation. If you're happy, please rise up as we sing together.
to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to serve the purpose of God.
For good singing, you may please be seated.
The reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in your will, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Now Dave's coming to preach. Is it okay if I just pray for you before? we start? Father, we thank you that David's with us this morning. We thank you for being able to learn more about the work of the African Pastors Fellowship and all the amazing things they do. We just pray that you'll really speak through Dave now, that you just guide him as he speaks to us all. And we thank you once again that he's here with us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you once again for the opportunity to be with you. And as I said in my earlier presentation, I am a Baptist minister, and it always struck me as slightly disconcerting when I stepped out of being in local church ministry. So when I stopped being the minister at Canterbury Baptist Church and started doing the work with APF, people would ask me how I was enjoying retirement. There was an assumption that, and this was 10 years ago, and I'm too young to be retired now, so you can understand why I was disconcerted by this. But I come to you first and foremost as a Baptist minister. I come to you as someone who loves to preach and to teach God's word. And so as important as it is for me to represent African Pastors Fellowship, it's most important that I come before you as someone who wants to open the scriptures and be inspired together by what God is saying to us. And when I was preparing, I found myself reflecting on Philippians chapter 1, Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi, and of the communication that he makes with them. And again, I mentioned in my presentation earlier about 685 million unique mobile subscriptions in sub-Saharan Africa by this year, 2025. How many people have one of these devices or something similar? I'm sure it's the overwhelming majority. And I do sometimes sort of do a little bit of digging around online when I'm preparing. And I discovered that there are 140 billion WhatsApp messages sent every day around the world. 140 billion. That's a lot. 7 billion of those are voice notes, which are particularly popular with Gen Z because it's too much like hard work to actually type out a message, and it's much easier just to press one button and speak, they've discovered. There is some wisdom in this, I think. But 140 billion WhatsApp messages relates to 97 million WhatsApp messages every single minute. 1.6 million WhatsApp messages every single second being sent around the world. And that's before you think about TikTok and Instagram and Messenger and those old-fashioned things, text messages, SMS. That's so much communication constantly happening. We are more connected than we have ever been. And it reminds me of an email exchange that I had 20 years ago. It's 20 years ago this year that I first went and made a visit to Uganda. And I was taking a team of people from Canterbury Baptist Church to Ataria Bible School in rural Teso region of Uganda. And the principal of the Bible College then, as he is now, is a man called Esomu Francis. And I would sit in my office at Canterbury Baptist Church and I would send an email. And then sometime later, normally a week or two, sometimes 3 weeks later, I'd get a reply from Francis. So this communication went on. And I didn't realize until I got to Ataria Bible School that first time that Francis lives in a very traditional compound with mud and daub, thatched-roofed houses, deep in the village, in a rural part of northeastern Uganda. And for him to send me an email, he had to walk to a stage where he would get onto a motorbike, and the motorbike would take him to a trading post at Ataria, where he would board a taxi like a bus, and he would then get the bus, which would take the best part of an hour down a Marram Road into the town of Soroti, where there may or may not be any power on that particular day. But if there was power, he would go to the internet cafe, and sometimes the internet cafe would have network and he'd be able to log in and send me an email. It was a safari. It was a journey. It took him the best part of a day to send or receive an email. Today, I can talk to Francis. I could call him now this morning and he would very possibly answer his smartphone. And we would have a WhatsApp video call with him still sat in his village, deep in the village in rural Uganda, and me wherever I happen to be. But the world has changed very, very much. But the importance of communication remains the same. Back in the day, we would have been sending international mail or trying to get through the operator on an international call. But today we can make instant calls and messages, and we kind of expect to get instant responses too. And in a sense, Paul's letter, his prayer for the church at Philippi, was using the most state-of-the-art technology of its day. He wrote a letter. Someone else probably actually physically wrote it as he dictated. And then his old friend Epaphroditus carried it by hand back to the church at Philippi. Communication has always been important to human beings. And Paul is writing this letter from prison, probably in Rome, where he faced, at best, an uncertain future. And Paul was not a criminal, not by any means, but he was incarcerated for preaching the cause of Christ. And yet, despite his predicament, despite being incarcerated in prison or under house arrest, he doesn't lament his situation. He continues to exercise his pastoral duties and concerns, writing this letter to a church that he had been involved in helping to establish there in the city of Philippi. And it seems to me that his words and his action in so doing contain some abiding principles for us as church today, especially in terms of what it means to be a pastor and how we exercise pastoral care and the relationship that exists between those in leadership and those who are part of the church congregations. But those principles can also be equally applied to every single member of the church, as we are committed to living in community, to communicating well one with another and cultivating healthy relationships. So I want to draw out some of those principles this morning. And the first of them has to do with abiding bonds. I want to speak about the abiding bonds that exist within church relationships. Paul had visited Philippi, as far as we know, on two occasions. And the first time, he'd stayed there for several months. He'd stayed there long enough to plant this congregation, this church. And the second time he visited, he was there to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread and no doubt other activities as well. But he was there, we think, for a shorter period of time. But what we can say is that even if it was only for a relatively brief portion of his life, Paul settled. Paul made his home there in Philippi. His time might have been brief, but it was rich and it was full. And now time has passed and he's in prison. About 12 years has passed. That's not an insignificant period of time. It's 12 years since Paul had left Philippi. And yet, despite this passing of time, despite the geographic distance that now separated them, he remained deeply committed to the well-being of that congregation. He was deeply committed to the well-being of that church, the church that he'd left behind. And separation, no matter what form it takes, cannot sever the abiding bonds that develop and exist between pastor and people, between brothers and sisters in Christ within the church. Verses 7 to 9. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. All of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul is expressing his deep and abiding bonds of affection and love and respect for this community of which he had been a part, albeit 12 years ago and now separated by many miles. And I think sometimes we underestimate the importance of that relationship, particularly between pastor and people, but also between ourselves in the church. And it's 25 years since I left the pastorate at Walderslade Baptist Church, and there are a number of people sat at the back of the church today. I don't think they normally come here, but they're here because I'm here. Because there are abiding bonds that exist between us that transcend time and transcend distance and are important because of all that we share in Christ. And there will be people who have moved on from this church, but with whom you remain in close contact because they're an encouragement to you and you to them. You pray for one another. And even though you're separated, you're still bound together because something stronger than physical presence, something stronger than time in one another's company right now exists between you. So I want to celebrate the abiding bonds that exist, which are sometimes inadequately expressed, but which are nevertheless true of the depth of relationship that can be established within the Church of Christ. And part of the reason for those abiding bonds has to do with the second principle, which is shared experience, verses 4 to 6. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, I have repeated that statement that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. I have repeated that so many times in ministry and as a mantra to myself. It's a reminder that my salvation, my eternal destiny, is not a matter of my personal performance. Thank goodness for that. He who began a good work in my life is way more committed to seeing that through to completion than I am myself. And it's because of him and his grace and his goodness and his unconditional love and mercy towards me that I stand and that I have confidence that I will continue to stand, and not because I'm a good man. I'm just a man. And he who began a good work in my life will see that through to completion. I give thanks to God for his grace. Paul had shared that message, that good news of Jesus with the congregation at Philippi all those years before. And he'd seen them convert and give their lives to Jesus. He'd baptized them. He'd prayed with them. He'd sat and eaten with them in their homes. He'd taught them. He'd disciplined them. He'd debated with them. And I guess perhaps he had buried some of them. And this shared experience of God is the foundation of that abiding relationship that exists between them. Not some common interest in football, not some conversation that we can easily fall into about EastEnders, but shared experience of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the basis of the relationship that they enjoy. And yes, Paul is writing his letter to the whole church, but I imagine he had some particular and specific friends in mind as well. People with whom he had a particular shared experience of the living God. Some of these are recorded for us in Acts chapter 16. The young girl healed of demon possession. A jailer and his family baptized that night when an earthquake shook the foundations of the jail. Lydia, the first European convert. And I wonder, who are those people that you have a shared experience of God with in a particular and specific way? I want to encourage you this morning to seek them out. To remember them, if they're still around somewhere, to reach out to them, to discuss those days of Zion that you enjoyed as a mutual source of encouragement and strength. I have those people, I'm sure you have those people. And again, we shouldn't take them for granted. And perhaps they're going to be really encouraged to receive that SMS or that WhatsApp message from you, wherever they happen to be today. And then the third principle has to do with mutual hospitality. As we've mentioned, Paul had given his time living among the people of Philippi. He had temporarily, at least, made his home at Philippi in order that he might share and communicate the gospel of Christ with them. He had accepted the hospitality of Lydia, staying at her home, which she also made available for the church as a meeting place for them. Paul had given his time, his energy, he'd given himself, his wit. He'd also received a welcome, shelter and companionship. No wonder, he says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Because I was nourished and enriched by the times that we shared together in close proximity, enjoying mutual hospitality. Perhaps he remembers with gratitude that even more now that he languishes in a prison cell in a distant country more than a decade later. Perhaps he looks back on that time now and thinks, what a wonderful time of God's goodness and grace lavished towards me. I can continue to trust and rely on him despite the fact life is hard today. So I imagine it was with enormous joy, a huge smile, that he receives this pastoral visit. Because the church at Philippi have sent his old friend Epaphroditus, who he describes elsewhere as a brother, a fellow worker, and a fellow soldier. And while there in Rome, enjoying fellowship one with another, Epaphroditus becomes desperately sick, apparently almost to the point of death. But then Paul is able to support Epaphroditus, giving and receiving this mutual hospitality. And on his recovery, Epaphroditus is sent back by Paul with this letter to the church at Philippi. The giving and receiving of personal hospitality cannot be overstated. The sharing in the comings and goings, the highs and lows of life are crucial in pastoral ministry and in the fellowship of the church. And sometimes it may seem too small, but just being there, not necessarily even having anything to say, but just being there at someone's side at a particular moment is crucial. And I've enjoyed the writings of someone called Brennan Manning over the years. And Brennan Manning actually writes from a charismatic Catholic perspective. But he writes a lot about the grace of God. And there's a particular book that he's written, which is called The Ragamuffin Gospel. And this is an extract from that book, which I think makes this point very well. The meeting opened with prayer. Silence. The prologue to AA was read by Harry. The 12 steps by Michelle. That night, Jack was the appointed leader. The theme I would like to talk with you about this evening is gratitude, he began. But if anyone wants to talk about something else, let's hear it. Immediately, Phil's hand shot up. As you know, last week I went to Pennsylvania to visit my family, and I missed the meeting. You also know I had been sober for 7 years. Last Monday, I got drunk, and I stayed drunk for 5 days. The only sound in the room was the drip of Mr. Coffee in the corner. You all know the buzzword, HALT, H-A-L-T, in this program, he continued. Don't let yourself get hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, or you will be vulnerable to the first drink. The last three got to me, and Phil's voice croaked, and he lowered his head. I glanced around the table, moist eyes, tears of compassion, soft sobbing, the only noise in the room. Same thing happened to me, Phil, said someone. But I stayed drunk for a year. Thank God you're back. Relapse spells relief, Phil, said a substance abuse counsellor. Let's get together tomorrow to figure out what you need relief from and why. I'm so proud of you. Hell, I never even made it close to 7 years. As the meeting ended, Phil stood up. He felt a hand on his shoulder, another on his face, and kisses on his eyes, forehead, neck, and cheek. You old ragamuffin, said Denise. Let's go. I'm treating you to banana split at Tasty Freeze. Sometimes just being there, sometimes just being a presence without judgment, and taking someone for banana split at Tasty Freeze is enough. Share experience of God, which builds abiding bonds of affection between us as we give and receive mutual hospitality of this sort, cannot be overstated. The small things that we do that express love and respect. And then the fourth principle has to do with being persistently prayerful, because at the heart of this passage is a heartfelt and generous prayer. Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is persistently prayerful. And he says that he has been and will continue to be persistently and consistently prayerful for the people at Philippi, as he was for all of the other churches that he oversaw. I always remember something that was said by a man called Gary Player. Gary Player was a golfer many, many years ago and continues to play, I believe. He was from South Africa. And he was a little bit obsessive, I think, about his practice. But one of the things that he said was, the more I practice, the luckier I get. The more I practice, the luckier I get. I like to play golf. I can't practice enough, so I'm not as lucky as he was. But I think there's actually a spiritual lesson in this. Because as I look back on my life, I realize that there have been peaks and troughs in my own prayer life. There have been peaks and troughs in my prayers for the churches of which I've been a part over the years. But when I look back, in those periods when I was most prayerful, that's when good stuff tended to happen. And it wasn't necessarily exactly the stuff that I'd prayed for, but nevertheless, the more I prayed, the more good stuff was happening in my own life and in my family and in the church. And again, thinking of the years that I spent at Waldersley, the brief number of years that I spent at Walderslade. And the church there grew in leaps and bounds in those 4 or 5 years. But because perhaps the church wasn't so big when I first started, I had more time to pray than you do when there are more people and more demands on your time. Perhaps there's some lessons to be learned there as well. But one of the things that I used to do was to go to a place called Bluebell Hill. You may know it. And I would sit at the top of Bluebell Hill and I'd have the directory of the church and I would pray for every person and their family and those that I knew about them. And that would be a very regular thing that I did. And certainly every month, people would come to know Jesus. And we baptized the best part of 100 people in 4 years. People coming to know Jesus for the first time. And the more I practiced, the luckier I got. The more I prayed, the more good stuff happened. And what precisely does Paul pray for the people at Philippi? Well, he prays with thanksgiving. He prays with thanksgiving for their partnership in the gospel, which is more than just platitudes, but which has been expressed in tangible ways. There he is in prison. He's in need. And Epaphroditus has come and has helped to supply his needs according to God's riches in glory. And Paul is able to say in chapter 4 and verse 18 that his needs are amply supplied. And he prays with thanksgiving because his needs are being met. And he prays with joy 16 times in the 104 verses that make up the 4 chapters of this letter. Paul uses the word joy. Despite his pitiful circumstances, he is joyful and he encouraged others to also rejoice. And then specifically in verses 9 to 11, he prays for love to abound more and more. He wants the people of Philippi to continue to grow and to deepen in love. He prays for knowledge and depth of insight. We might say he prays that they would have wisdom to discern the activity and the goodness of God in their lives. He prays for moral and spiritual discernment, that they might make wise choices and live godly lives. He prays for purity and blamelessness, that they might also stand pure and blameless on that day, not because of their goodness, but because of their dependence on Christ and his grace towards them. He prays for the fruit of righteousness to be found in them. He prays for love. He prays for wisdom. He prays for discernment. He prays for purity. He prays for righteousness. And again, it struck me as I reflected on this, how does this compare and contrast with the ways in which we are often prone to pray? And again, I did a little bit of research and discovered that, well, 69% of people who pray say that they pray for their loved ones, for their family and friends. I'm surprised it's not more than 69%. 54% say that they would pray for healing or relief from distress. Again, we might not find that unsurprising. A significant minority of people pray for guidance and success. Maybe they're going for a job interview. Why not pray that it goes well? Just 24% of people pray for some of the global issues that we prayed for in our intercessions earlier this morning. That's a bit on the low side, given the amount of strife there is around the planet. But then, rather more alarmingly, 14% of people admit to praying for negative outcomes for others. 14% of people are not praying for your good. They're praying for something bad to happen to someone. And 7% have prayed to avoid a speeding ticket. Probably not whilst they were speeding, but maybe after that little light flashes. Not many are praying like Paul, for love to abound more and more, for knowledge and depth of insight, for moral and spiritual discernment, for purity and blamelessness, or for the fruit of righteousness. And then the final principle has to do with virtual presence. I think one of the things that I actually like most about this passage is that Paul, yes, he prays for his friends at Philippi. That's a good thing, and that is to be encouraged. But what I like even more than that is that when he's prayed, he then puts pen to paper and he writes them a letter to tell them that he's prayed, to tell them that he's given thanks for them, to tell them what it is that he's prayed for, to tell them why it is that he's so grateful for them. He cannot visit them because he himself is locked up in prison. So he uses that most up-to-date, state-of-the-art technology and social media of the day, that old thing called a letter. And he sends it to them the fastest way he can. It reminded me of a story about my parents. My mum and dad, they got married back in 1963. And the way in which they met was that my dad worked for a particular company and he was sent from his hometown, Woking, to Bristol to set up an office for that company. And in setting up the office, he had to employ a secretary. So a number of people were interviewed for the role of secretary, and the successful candidate ultimately became my mother, his wife. And after he'd been in Bristol for a little while, his company said, "Oh, you've made such a good job in Bristol, we want you to go somewhere else." So he went somewhere else and started to do the same process again. But when it came to Christmas that year, he sent a Christmas card to Molly. And in it, he said, "Dear Molly, happy Christmas. Love, Mike. P.S. Married yet? Question mark." And a week or two later, he gets a reply in the handwriting that he recognises from the fair Molly. And in her card, she's written, "Dear Mike, happy Christmas, love Molly. P.S. No. When are you coming to Bristol?" And the rest, as they say, is history. But this was the WhatsApp exchange of its day. This was the fastest way that they could do it at that time. They exchanged handwritten messages, and it led to, well, here I am, among other things. And I want to suggest that in this world of communication, rapid, immediate, quick-fire communication, 140 billion WhatsApp messages every day, sometimes it's really good to write a letter, and even better, to receive it. And I want to encourage you, when you think about those people with whom you shared your days of Zion that we thought of earlier, that maybe you don't just send them an SMS, although perhaps that would be okay. But if you're able, send them a card. Send them a letter. Send them something that will actually land through their letterbox. They'll open it and they'll think, "Wow, not only did they think of me, but they took time to write." And they will be blessed. I can absolutely guarantee that they will be blessed and grateful for your communication. So that is your homework this week. And if I was to come back next week or in a couple of weeks' time, I'd be interested to know what kind of responses you got, because you will get warm responses. I can guarantee it. And if every single one of you writes a letter, that's a lot of blessing that's been imparted this week. Just saying, "Hi, we thought about you. I prayed for you and I give thanks for you for these reasons. Pray that God continues to go with you and that you grow and abound in love. And that the fruit of righteousness is found in you." Amen. Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11 contains important lessons about pastoral prayer and practice, but also just the growth of healthy relationships within the Church of Jesus Christ, where there are abiding bonds of affection flowing from shared experience, especially of God, where mutual hospitality, especially a physical visit when we can, and persistent prayer for spiritual health and growth can be such an important way of solidifying and strengthening hope and faith and relationship and virtual presence, utilizing whatever media available to bless and to encourage, but especially perhaps writing a letter to an old friend who will be grateful. I guarantee it. Amen. Amen.
As we bring the service to a close, we would rise up to sing Room in My Heart. My heart can make a home. If my heart make a home, as long as I am able, I will make it all your home. In my praise, near the throne, and as long as I am breathing, you will be the cornerstone.
Okay, we'll just do the notices and then we'll finish with the grace. There's quite a few to get through. Please don't forget, if you're visiting, that there is tea and coffee downstairs, so do please hang around and have a chat. Prayer ministry is taking place in a moment with Nikki and Judith ready. If you need to wait a while, do please be patient. They will pray for you as soon as they can, but obviously sometimes people's needs are quite significant and the prayers do need to go on accordingly, but please do be patient. The Borstal Fellowship is meeting on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock at Borstal Village Hall. One really important notice: the notifications for the church leadership team need to be in by 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, so effectively you've got Monday and Tuesday to get that sorted and signed, so please don't forget if you're still needing to get the paperwork done. On Friday at 7 o'clock, there is a great event called Saints Alive taking place in Rochester Cathedral. So obviously this is a time when a lot of Halloween activities are taking place, and this is in fact the opposite of that. It's a celebration taking place. Lisa Ajay is one of the guest speakers. There's also a guy called Shaq Santima, who is a brilliant rapper. I was very excited to hear about that. I'm going to take my Christmas presents along to get them wrapped, but I was told it's the wrong sort of rapper. But he is well worth going along to listen to. We've got lots of these notices downstairs, so do please grab one on the way out if you'd like to go along, or you know someone who would like to. Don't forget, there's a men's breakfast taking place on Saturday morning. I think it's 9 o'clock for 9:15. And there's also a Christmas Day lunch taking place on Christmas Day, and there is a notice sheet at the back. You can sign up for that. So please sign up for the men's breakfast and the Christmas lunch if you'd wish to go along to either of those. And if you've got any questions about that, talk to Rob. I think that is more or less everything I have. Please do look on the notice sheet. There's lots of further information on things taking place on here. There are requests for numerous people that would value your prayers at this time. And I'd also like a request, if you could remember, a couple of weeks ago, there was a request that we pray for Ashford Baptist Church because they're without a leader at the moment. So if you could pray for Ashford Baptist Church during the week, they would really value your prayers. Is there anything else I need to give a notice about from anyone? No? Jolly good. Okay, if we could all finish with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.